It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received, for good or for evil, in a superlative degree of comparison only. I was on my knees yesterday afternoon in front of a toilet, chipping away at piss. That's a segue. Sorry about that, but I was. We are going to have some people over in the next few weeks for a big New Year's party that we're throwing. And we want to make sure that the house is as clean as possible. And I have been putting off cleaning the bathrooms because they're a headache and a half for me. I have teenagers in the house, and they can just wreck a bathroom like nobody's business. And I'll admit that I am in no hurry to get in there and start cleaning up behind them. But, you know, it's come to a head, and I had to start working on it. And so I put on the heavy gloves, and I grabbed my pumice stone, and then just started going at this toilet bowl to try to make sure that it looks as clean and as pristine as possible for our honored guest. And as I was chipping away at this thing, I thought about the contrast between that moment and 24 hours prior, where if you had rewound the clock, if you press rewind on the old VHS thing, you would have been transported to a completely different place. I was in Santa Barbara, California the day prior. The day prior, I had been sipping on wine. We had gone to a couple of tasting rooms around Santa Barbara, and we had been sipping on some of the nicest, some of the cleanest, some of the freshest, some of the smoothest wines I have tasted in a while. I'll admit it was my first time wine tasting. My wife has done it before, but I've never done it. And we were sitting there together at 41, both of us buzzed and in love, and she was looking amazing and gorgeous. We had gone through these walks. Part of the reason why we found ourselves in California is because we had won some gift certificates at a gala that we had attended earlier in the year, and these certificates were going to expire, so we needed to use them before the end of the year went out. And without telling me, and I had completely forgotten that we owned them, she made arrangements that the kids were going to be taken care of by my sister. She just told me to be ready on a Saturday to go for a day together. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves driving up the 101 freeway north to one of my favorite places on earth. And so there we were together, walking about, you know, this amazing land with a fantastic Mediterranean climate, with all of its history and all of its old buildings, and also it's some of the most opulent people in California happen to live here. There, I 100% guarantee you visit Santa Barbara if you're from out of the state coming in to visit California. You'll get a real sense of, you know, what our grand state can be like. So there we are, we're sipping on wine, we're walking through these gardens, just enjoying the time together. I am doing what I do, is trying to make her laugh and to thank her profusely for this grand day out. The weather is absolutely perfect. A few weeks prior, I mean, actually 2 or 3 days prior, it had been raining cats and dogs throughout California. We also have had the fires here, south of that, near Malibu and in that area. But the contrast, again, of those terrible days of fires, also the heavy rains, they were like it had been decades ago, because we found ourselves in heaven on earth together as kids. You know, it's one of those crazy things that when you've been together with somebody for so long, you can do two things. You can either realize, holy shit, we're getting old, this sucks. Or you can say, holy shit, we feel like kids. We haven't aged, really. Yes, tiredness hits you, and I have to take naps, and sometimes, like I said in the last show, things don't quite work the way that they used to. But the reality is that I'm extremely young at 41, and that I love seeing things, I love learning, I love being around architecture and art and music and wine, and a place like that just fuels the soul. Now, I don't believe in a soul. But for all intents and purposes, let's say that that's what it recharges. And so if I, whatever the closest thing in me to a soul is, then that's what it was recharging. Anyways, so we're there, and I can't help it. We're walking through these most beautiful places, and we're looking at jewelry from some of the vendors and all these crystals that are about. We're smelling the smells of the cigar bars, and we're looking at the little shops. I specifically one that was just completely filled with lights in the interior, but you, so you were it was a bar, but you would think that you were having drinks inside a galaxy. And all the lovely people of all shades and sizes. One of the things that I posted about this on the Twitter is that back in the day when my wife and I first met, we as an interracial couple, her being German, myself being Mexican, I always used to think we are the oddity here. Everybody's paired up with somebody that looks just like them, that has the same shade of color, white with white, brown with brown, black with black, whatever, right? But walking around Santa Barbara yesterday, we were not the exception. We're quite far from it. There were people of all races and sizes mixed together, gay, straight, black with white, white with brown. The whole mix of things were there. And they were just in this, they were happy and enjoying their walks and laughing and telling stories. And what is bohemian is really the only word that I can use to describe it. It is a bohemian town. And of course, you're going to be bohemian if you have all this wine about you and you're free to walk the streets or to bike the streets. And the end result is that, at the very bottom of the hill, you have this gorgeous beach where you can just enjoy the sun and soak it in. Again, marvelous. But I can't help myself. I look at things. And so there I am, right, standing, right about to go into the Santa Barbara Museum of Art. And I notice a woman who is whose skin is quite leathery, who has all these bags just bunched around her, just sitting on a bench. And obviously she's homeless. She's talking to herself, and although I don't run away from homeless folks, I don't think that they're the plague. I always kind of just keep an eye out to make sure that somebody's not going to lash out. And she was perfectly fine. There was no worry. But I kept on noticing her in the contrast of her person to the opulence around her. And even in a place like that, in Santa Barbara, this, again, Mediterranean perfect spot, there she was with her challenges, with not having a legitimate place to go to, at least the way that we think of legitimate, with all of the things that she has in life literally at her side. And you can't help but feel the contrast. Again, it's just like the weather a couple of days prior, right? It was raining cats and dogs. And now it's beautiful and sunny, and just like the postcards tell you that Southern California is supposed to be. Here we are amongst opulence, and I am in its midst. I am part of it because, again, I am very cognizant of the fact that even with the financial troubles that I've talked about openly on this podcast, even with the financial issues that we have, or the challenges of the real estate market not being what it should be, at least not for me, and the fact that sales are down, still, I have the ability to go to dinners and to enjoy wine tastings and to travel up and down the state without any care in the world, that I get to sit there and contemplate art, and that I get to walk around gardens with my wife and just take photo after photo after photo of her and just create these vivid memories of her in the garden, I have the latitude to do that. In that, as far as the world's population is concerned, a very small percentage of people have the opportunity to do so. Even within our borders of this country, a small portion of folks have the opportunity to seek these places out and to enjoy them, right? My wife always reminds me is that we shouldn't feel guilty about things like that, that we work hard, that this has always been part of our life goals, is to be able to enjoy those moments because we put in the work on the front end. But my mind works in such a way that I'm always looking at contrast, and I always want to be grounded to the reality of things. I don't know what it was about the way that I grew up. I don't know that it's necessarily my generation thing, but I'm always waiting for the shoe to fall out, right? Or for the rug to be pulled out from underneath me. And so, as much as I am in a place, I am always cognizant of the fact that this place doesn't have to be like that. In that, I am enjoying something that the rest of the world doesn't get to enjoy. And so, I will always, to some degree, identified with those who have less or those who are less fortunate. And that contrast doesn't escape me. And I don't know that I ever want to lose the ability to understand that contrast or to notice it and to be mindful of it and to describe it to other people. I guess the reason why I went back to that Charles Dickens quote in how the Tale of Two Cities starts is because that is how I see the world. The best of times, the worst of times, and how they work together or how they happen to be in line with one another, sidestep with one another, is the fact that there are some that hurt and there are some that are not, and they both share, you know, the same little island which we call the earth. It's funny, as I read that line again today, you know, and I haven't read it in a long time, I forgot about the latter part. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted in its being received, for good or evil, in a superlative degree of comparison only. Meaning that that duality is a constant in life. That these two train tracks, and more, because it's a continuum, but all of these tracks are going along at the same time, and we all happen to live in one, and we can change sometimes, and we can change trains, but they're all going at the same time, and that when you're doing well, somebody is not doing quite as good, and vice versa, and we jockey for positions that way. I am all, you know, all of these metaphors that I'm throwing out here, I hope I haven't lost you, but I guess my whole point in talking to you today about all this is the fact that be aware of the fact that you might be doing really, really well right now. And that means that somebody else in the world isn't. It's not tit for tat, but that is just the reality of it. That you might be doing fantastic, but it's a big life and there's a lot of people within it. And relatively, others may not be doing as fantastic as you are. And I think to some degree, if we are going to be a better community, if we're going to be a better society, if we're going to be a better race, a better human race, then we need to be mindful that yes, you get to enjoy the good things in life. You get to enjoy that nectar of goodness that life can provide. But be mindful of the fact that not everybody has access to that elixir, right? That it might be worthwhile to share a little bit. And that's up to you how much you want to. See, I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect. I can't help it for everybody out there. But as I was telling somebody online, or we were going back and forth on the Twitter, that sometimes it just means just a little thing. It doesn't have to be monetary. there's been times when a homeless person or somebody that is that without means needs directions, and nobody wants to talk to that person because they don't look the right way or they don't smell the right way, or you can see that there's issues there. And as long as I am safe and I feel that I'm going to be safer than my kin or my family are safe, then I am more than willing to share information, to give a smile, to let that persons know that they are still welcomed in this tribe of ours that we call humanity, that they are not apart from it, but they are part of it, and that their struggles are real and that they resonate at least with me. In that little thing, I hope makes a bit of a difference. Then there are other times when I give and I give and I give without want of a thank you or anything like that. It's me on occasion seeing somebody who's hurt and just having a conversation with them. Not for the sake of fixing their problems, but just hearing them out. Or there are the times when, I will write a nice review for somebody who doesn't need it, but who still, what does it cost me to give it? There's these celebrities, for lack of a better term, or people online that have these huge followings. And from just things that I've read or interviews that I've come across, podcast shows, that sometimes these celebrities, they're out there, they're being regular, they're regular people in a lot of ways too. They'll say something, they'll do something, and since you can't please all the people all the time, folks will pounce on their opinion on what they're doing and whatnot. And every now and again, I'll just write something nice. If I see a work that I enjoyed of theirs, I will let them know. Or there's this other podcast, it's called Unspooled, and they talk about movies. And I'm forgetting the name of the gal that's the co-host of the show. But she is an extremely, extremely bright, well-researched, extremely knowledgeable, and excited film person. And so I just send her a quick tweet telling her that her mind is amazing, and I appreciate it. And she was kind enough to send me a quick message back. And I don't need a back and forth anything further than that. I just want to legitimately let people know your work is appreciated. And you may not always hear it, but at least I want to let you know that this simple person is aware of what you do and wants you to know that it makes a difference. And it's those little things, guys, that you could do throughout the day that doesn't cost you a lot, it doesn't cost you a lot of time, it doesn't cost you any money, but they can make a difference, that it can get you away from being out of the light and put you into it. Giving good thoughts, being a positive energy in the world is a good thing, because it can flip the switch from being in the negative to the positive. And I want to be an agent of positive. That's what this podcast is all about. That's what it's, that's one of the main reasons why I started, is because I wanted to be an agent of positivity in the world. Because gosh darn it, there's a lot of negative shit out there. Season of light, season of darkness. You get to choose which side you're going to be on. Choose the light. It's not that hard. Actually, I think it takes a lot of energy to be a dick. I look at some of these trolls out there in the world. I'm like, fuck, man. You take the time and effort to be an asshole like that? What if you just decided today, you know what? I don't need to be that person. What if I don't want to be foolish? What if I want to be wise? You have that choice. All of you do. I do. And so I laugh at sitting there or on my knees cleaning at a toilet, because I know and I am grateful for having the ability to contrast, to know that this is a temporary, uncomfortable moment. In that it will pass. In that in, who knows, 24 hours time maybe, I will be in a wonderful place, enjoying amazing food, looking at the cutest girl in the world, loving her, looking into her eyes, seeing myself for who I am, an agent of positivity. Take care. Peace.